Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. Hello, and welcome back to Weekend Warriors Hockey. We're here with episode 17, and we're recording this episode in mid-July of 2020. We hope everyone's having a healthy and fun summer so far. I'm Austin, and joining me today are Rick and Coach Rob. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you today, Austin?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. And Coach Rob, how are you doing today?
We're doing great. Hope everybody's healthy.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, just to remind our listeners, we're on a two-week recording schedule. So you'll get this sometime toward the end of July. You'll be hearing this. And we also would like for listeners, if they can, please leave us a rating on your favorite podcast platform to let us know how we're doing. And leave comments there if you have any suggestions. And 5-star ratings are very much appreciated. So today we're going to do an episode about listener questions. We've had a few questions that have been sent in, and we've kind of compiled them up till we had enough to kind of do an episode. So that's what we're going to do today. So we've got lots to cover, and we'll see what kind of answers we can get. Most of these will be for Coach Rob, but Rick and I will hop in as we feel necessary. So we'll go ahead and get started. So Rob, for the first question, Dennis Rowan, a long time. How many camps has he been to, Rick? What was the number you guys kind of came up with every year?
He's been every year. He comes to Lake Tahoe every single year, and probably started our third year in business. So I guess it'd be like, 16 now.
16 years. All right. Well, Dennis, this question is from you.
Yeah, we keep trying to send him back, but he just keeps coming and showing up. I love you, Dennis. You know that.
Yeah, Dennis, definitely keep the questions coming as you have them. So, all right. So Coach Rob, Dennis asks, I know what Weekend Warriors Hockey Academy does for me as a player, but do you see camp as an opportunity for professional development for the coaches?
100%. Absolutely. I can say I've learned something from each and every coach that we've had at camp. I think as a coach, you have to do that if you want to evolve as a coach. So, anytime I go to the rink, I coached U-10s last year, and it was I had to retrain myself. I think I mentioned that on a previous podcast, but I think every coach has something to offer depending on, if you're working with a different level of athlete or, just adults. I think every coach has something to bring to the table and has a different perspective or a different outlook and a different experience. And it should only be natural that I should try to take something from that and help it and put it into my little playbook of teaching or, drills or whatever it might be to help me become a better coach. I would hope that players would do that too. I mean, I think of myself as a player 100 years ago, and it was, I was always looking at, to see what different players were doing, how do I get better? Especially when I got to college, I had some really good players I played with and would always watch those guys and see how they prepared or how they played and what they were doing to make themselves better. And you try to emulate that a little bit or do the same thing. So absolutely. It's definitely a great place to learn as a coach. I hope coaches have learned from me, but I can honestly say that I have learned from, certainly, from every coach that we've had at camp, I've certainly learned something from.
Yeah, but I like the different drills that the different coaches bring too. Like, at every camp, we're going to cover the basic skills, right? We're going to cover stick handling and shooting and passing and puck protection. But every coach has a different drill, so it's a different way, and it brings variety to the camp. So we're not always doing the same set of drills to cover that particular, those skill sets.
Yeah. And even when we get into station work, if I've done the stations and I give the stations to the coaches and here you go, here's what we're going to do. A lot of times, especially when we have maybe a more advanced group, coaches will go ahead and kind of add to it or make it a little more, I'll say difficult, but challenging for the player. And they have full green light to do that. And I look down there, oh, that's a great idea. So yeah, absolutely. We have a great group of coaches and I've certainly enjoyed working with all of them. And like I said, it is a way to make yourself a better coach is sometimes just to listen.
Yeah. And I went to the Atlanta camp twice, back to back years. And for those listening who either haven't gone to a camp or haven't gone to multiples, I had different coaches, all different coaches for each camp that I went to, even though it was in the same location. So from a player's perspective, I got multiple different ways to learn the same things and different drills and things like that. Rick and Rob, is it, do you find too as well when you go to camps at the same location that that is normal? I mean, I know Rob tries to go to most of them, but like last year he wasn't able to make it. Do you find that, like say when you go to Tahoe or to, you know, Boston or wherever, that you end up with a little bit different coaching staff each year?
Yeah, mostly. It does depend on the location a little bit. And of course it changes over the course of the years. You know, some guys are available and then they're not available because their job situation changes. So we kind of have a core group of guys, and then, you know, the other coaches are changing out. And then, like, you know, you happen to be at one camp where Rob was there and one camp where he couldn't make it. So it's funny because some players, you know, they'll ask, like, is, you know, coach whoever going to be there? And then they're disappointed when if the answer is no. And then after camp, they're like, oh, that guy was good. You know, so there's always, you know, we always look for quality coaches, right? You know, if they're not a quality coach, they're going to do one camp and they're done. But it's nice to have that variety from different people because you get the different perspectives. And sometimes it's not, you know, maybe Coach Rob teaches it one way and then Coach Tim comes in and teaches it a different way. And that way just the light bulb goes off for a particular player, right? Yep. You know? Yep.
So yeah, you would have to think for sure to answer Dennis's question that as different coaches are coming in and if they've never been exposed to each other, you're going to pick something up in a profession of coaching. You got to be open to that continuous learning. Just like as a player, you got to be open to continuously learning about that skill set.
Yep.
Yeah. Just to expand on what Rick was saying, like, you know, we all have different perspectives as coaches, but everyone has a different way of learning. And so, like Rick said, maybe my perspective, even though it might be teaching the same thing or how I do it, is a little different from somebody else. And it just connects better with somebody else. It doesn't happen very often because of me, but you know, it's me. but
it's not even just like it, from camp to camp, Austin. Like sometimes within a camp, for instance, like we do a wave drill, right? And Rob will be leading that for the skating. But then, you know, we've got like four other coaches on the ice that are jumping in and giving tips. And so Rob may explain it one way and say, Coach Andy sees, you know, this guy's struggling, goes up to him and says, hey, try this. And boom, all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fine tuning.
I can assure you moving forward, I won't be missing too many more Atlanta camps.
Let's hope not.
All right. So we're going to, okay. So that was an excellent question by Dennis. Thanks, Dennis, for sending that in. And all right. So next one's also for Coach Rob. It's going to be some multi-parts here in these, and there's a couple questions here. These are from Simon McNamara, who joined us a few podcasts ago. So he has a couple of questions. The first one is, he states that he learned from a figure skating coach about how when you're turning, you're on the arc of a circle and that your feet should stay on that arc if you want to keep your speed and momentum. This is your, as he calls it, your line. And he wants to know if Coach Rob agrees.
Wow, almost sounds like a physics question. In a sense, I do agree. But in a sense, I also disagree. I mean, it is your line. But you're going to, you know, we're turning for a reason in a game. And where I'll say this is a little different, figure skating is a little different from hockey. Like we're in figure skating. So the technical part of that question is yes. I want to keep that line. I want to pick up some speed and I want to go. But the other part of that question is, we're chasing a puck. So something's happening in the game. So we're always changing direction. We're always moving differently. So the first part of the question is, yes, if I'm just turning to maybe go and get back, I would keep that line. But what is that? You know, it's such a great question because if I'm trying to get back, I want to get back as quickly as possible. And we make light of this in camp, you know, we don't do the big tractor trailer turn to get back. I want to get back as quickly as I can. So I might do a tighter turn in which I would keep a tighter line to get back. And maybe I'm confusing things a little bit more. I'm not sure, but you know, I want to get back as quickly as I can. So if I have taken a longer line, but all of a sudden something happens and I have to get back quicker and I'm going to have to change that. Yeah. I might have to do a crossover. I might have to change my angle. I might have to change in direction. Technically, yes. But I think you can't get caught up in that. I guess is what I'm saying, because something in the game is always changing. You have to be ready to change direction at any time.
So let's throw this kind of the second part of this question in there, which is, if there's a line and if you want to keep your speed and momentum, you should try and hold that line. So now thinking about it from a hockey perspective, he kind of asks, he says, room related to seeing where players are going and how to intercept them and get into their lane. Now he defines line objectively as the best skating path, which I guess you could consider, you know, the fastest from point A to point B is a straight line. Usually we talk like that, whether it's physics or whatever. And the lane would kind of be the person sized width around that line that you might engage another person. So he kind of wonders if holding that line versus finding a lane, maybe are they related to one another, and should you use those lines and lanes to help make decisions?
Well, again, this is a loaded question. If we're going on the forecheck and we're going in before somebody, we're not going to go in on a straight line. We are going to take them on an angle. So it's not going to be point A to point B. We're going to force them. We're going to start at point A, and I'm going to kind of take an arc, and I'm going to force them to point B, but I'm not going to go directly at them. I'm going to try to force them in a direction that I want to go, in which case I would keep the same line. If I take a good one and have a good angle where there can't be a cutback, and even if they cut back, you've done your job. You stopped the attack. So if I am going in on an angle, I do want to keep that line. I don't want to go full out just yet because they might cut back on me. I want to make sure I have them committed to an area or a space before I would attack. I don't know if that answers the question. Defensively, if someone's coming on you in a one-on-one, we talk about, giving a gap and gap control. It's a little bit of a different thing because it's more linear than it would be on an angle. So that's a little bit different topic, I guess, altogether.
Yeah, I guess my perspective on it would be definitely the line would be your objectively best skating path to achieve something. In this case, if you're talking about a forecheck, it's to get to a position where you force that player to do what you want them to do. And then you add to that, that your lane that you create is however wide your body is plus whatever your stick can react to.
Yeah, you're forcing them into a lane is what you're trying to do. Forcing them to make a play or decision that they don't want to make. Now, if that's what he's talking about in choosing a lane, or I think then we might be on the right track. Again, on an angle. But we don't want to. But again, if we're going into attack on a forecheck and we don't have the gap's too big, then I want to take an angle. If the gap's really close, and this might be more so for players that are allowed to check. If you're in there close, you're going to take a straight line and try to make contact if you can, depending on what that space is. I think I'm just confusing things, but in my head it's right. But
yeah, I look at it this way from this question, and it could be that you're forward, you're on a forecheck. Maybe the puck has just escaped out of your zone, but it's not icing. It's going around the boards behind the goalie. The goalie's chosen not to stop the puck. You've got to pick a line. The other player, the defensive player's also got a line that they're trying to skate, and you both are trying to intercept the puck at some point. As the offensive forward forechecking, you've got to figure out what that line is and what you want to do with it. That's going to determine your decision-making. If you know the defender's going to get there first, you then have to pick a line that you're going to intercept them at some point to try and get your stick on the puck, to try and separate them from the puck. Or you've decided that, well, now I've got to change what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do maybe a little less aggressive forecheck, and I'm going to force them into a lane that I want them to go into, whether it's, protecting the middle of the ice or something like that. So I guess that's the way I look at it when I read his question is.
Yeah, that makes sense. But what really comes back into my head after you saying that is, and that's the game of hockey. You're constantly making decisions based on certain things going on in the game, whether it be a race to the puck or making a
bad line for me would be to chase that puck around the back of the net, because if the defenseman's going to get there, I'm not going to ever get there. He's going to have the puck and he's going to be gone. That's a bad line. And therefore I've got to figure out the best line to intercept in there. So, all right, let's try and go to the second one here that Simon asks. That was a tricky one, Simon. Hopefully we answered that for you. And if not, let us know. We'll try again. All right, so Simon is a chess guy, for those who are unaware, and I think Rick and Rob are aware. So he has a question that comes from chess. At the highest levels, there are a lot of draws because it's tough to totally outplay people. From a defensive point of view in hockey, he's often looking to make draws. Basically, he can force someone to do some textbook play, pass it back to the point, dump it in, or even just push someone to the outside, and he's happy. He hasn't really taken the puck away or changed from offense to defense. He's kind of made a textbook play. Then he doesn't need to try and steal the puck, and he was wondering what you think of this kind of reasoning, because he seems to believe that there's the least amount of downside to this. He's not going to have a lot of blunders if he does kind of the textbook thing.
No, and I think I would agree with him. It's we don't necessarily have to go for the puck all the time. Sometimes we want, you know, for, again, we're doing our job. Just to go back to what I said before, if you go in and you're forechecking someone and you've taken a good angle and all of a sudden they stop and they turn back towards your own zone, have you done your job? You have, right? You stop the attack. They have to go back and regroup and kind of figure out another way, and everybody's going to have to adjust. But I understand what he's saying. So when we talk about this at camp, you know, we don't necessarily want to go fishing for the puck the whole time. We want to maybe wear down the opponent a little bit or force them to make a play they don't want to play. And I can do that without having to go after the puck. So I understand what he's saying. And absolutely. Force them to the outside. You know, we talk about, you know, forcing the puck outside the dots or outside that center lane of the ice. Again, and if we're doing a good job of that, the percentage of scoring becomes a little bit less. So absolutely. Now, at some point, you know, we do want to get the puck back or else we're going to be chasing the game the whole time. But again, that's a decision you have to make at a certain time in the game. Maybe you're in the corner with an opponent and you know that guy's he's pretty good. So I'm going to give him a space. I'm just going to limit his time and space at this point in time. You know, maybe when I tire him down and he exposes the puck, I might just go in for a stick lift and try to take it away. But you want to make sure that you keep a good body position even when you do that. I find a lot of times when you go in there and you're trying to fish for the puck instead of kind of just holding your position defensively, well, you have a tendency to open up a lane for that player to take either to net or to make a good offensive play. So I would agree completely.
Yeah, I think it comes down to percentages, right? Like when you feel the percentages are in your favor, strongly in your favor, then you go and make that play on the puck. But when it's like a 50-50 thing, like I could get beat, like, no, play, make the defensive play, keep them to the outside. Because eventually, I mean, these are adult hockey league players, right? Eventually they're going to make a mistake, right? They're going to keep passing it around. Eventually they make a mistake, and then that's when you pounce.
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit when we talked about, you know, the idea way back a few, probably several episodes ago, about being players, wingers being on the point. And the idea wasn't you don't stand on top of that defenseman. You get into a space where you can make them make mistakes, where you can make the textbook play, push them to the outside, keep the lanes that are going to be dangerous closed, and have them, you know, they will eventually do it. They're going to make mistakes. Play the game, try and play it the right way. And you do have to, you know, Simon brings up a good point. You got to know what the textbook play is in order to make that play. So
it comes down to decision making. Like, you know, if it's 1-on-2 and the guy's isolated all by himself and you have support, I'm going to be a little more aggressive. I'm going to make sure this guy doesn't want to be there. And, you know, if I'm outnumbered or maybe it's just it's 5-on-5 and everybody's got their player, then yeah, maybe I'll be a little less aggressive. But I think those are decisions you have to make in the game, knowing what your surroundings are. Where's my support? Where's his support? Where is the puck in relation to the net?
And sometimes you're down a goal, and there's a minute left. You got to force it.
Exactly. So a lot of factors weigh into the, you know, the keeping to the outside or the making the draw. Sometimes you have to go for a win. So while I agree with Simon, yes, absolutely, I want to play like that. But, you know, at some point you want to get checkmate. So,
okay, let's hit his third question here. And we may have touched on this before as well, but he's talking about gap control. So he finds gap control to be difficult to implement. Half of his defensive errors, he notes, are gap control related. You let the guy get too close, he passes, he goes around you. Or the next time you give up too much space and he's able either to set up a nice play or shoot. So Rob, anything as far as points of references, situations, again, this is hockey, so you're going to get, it depends, but situations where you might want to be looser or tighter or any other kind of guidance.
I think if gap control is something you can master, it would certainly help your game. What it comes down to is confidence in your backward skating and your speed at which you can, and which the speed in which you can skate backwards, and, you know, in that a crossover in there to get started. we see a lot of guys, you know, in adult league. And again, I make light of it at camp, is that, you know, you're at the blue line, your team turns over the puck and they start coming at you. What do you do as a defenseman? You turn around, you head back towards your blue line, right? Like, ah, I got to get back. And then all of a sudden you're back there and they're gaining speed, but you slow down because you don't want to be too far back in your zone. So in gap control, you want to start that right away. So if you can, get going backwards immediately, try to get a crossover and just get your feet moving, stay to the middle of the ice. We talk about giving a gap and controlling a gap, give a gap. So I want to be towards the dots, towards the center of the ice. I'll give them the outside because that's where I want them to go. Again, playing the percentages and try to keep my feet moving so I can match. Now, as that player gets a little closer to me, that gap between the offensive player and myself, I might try to squeeze over just a little bit. But initially, I want to give a little bit more space between the boards and myself because that's where I want them to go. I think where it gets lost is just people not being able to match speed. So you want to be able, again, it comes to having confidence in your backward skating and just making sure that you're to the middle of the ice, but not getting back. I mean, that's why he's getting burned because you get too far back. All right. And then that person's coming at you with full speed. And then you, all of a sudden you got to get your speed back up. I'm like, oh no. And you're already a step behind. So you got to start right at the blue line, get a crossover and start going backwards and just start pumping your skates. Keep your stick on the ice and use your stick as the turn and try to force them to keep them to the outside by playing to the middle of the ice.
You know, one of the things on gap control that Coach Monks used to say was where you start your gap control. And so, like as a defenseman, if you make a pass up the ice to one of your forwards and you look at you admire your pass, say, oh, that was a great pass. And you kind of, you know, amble up the ice, you know, slowly. And, you know, the play is like two zones ahead of you. And all of a sudden there's a turnover. Now, you know, what's your gap? It's two zones, right? So the key is like getting up with the play, being maybe a half a zone behind the play. So if there is a turnover, now you do your pivot, you start coming back, and you've already got your gap set up. So in other words, the problem is originates from not having too much gap, because then what do, right? You have to start going back really slowly and then pick up speed as they're coming at you hard. Whereas if you start with a smaller gap, it's easier to adjust. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me. You know, and this is part of the reason why I don't like playing defense. I like playing forward. So it gap control, just it really gets me every time. I end up being an orange pylon out there. I'm not good at judging it. And the more you do it, obviously, the better you're going to get. And my skating is not to the point. I play with guys that are just really, really good at it. And I know they're really good at it because they've practiced it. They've played, whether it's their whole life or they just keep working on their skating, and their skating is better than mine. So
I will say this on that point is that if you're not confident in your backward skating is to be a little looser and maybe do get back a little bit. So you are forcing, yeah, you know, maybe having them make that play in front of you instead of behind you.
Yeah.
So at least you, yeah, can see and maybe make a decision or have to adjust if necessary. So
yeah,
if you're struggling with it a little bit, at least I would stay a little looser instead of trying to have that tire gap. Because again, if they're, like you're saying, if they're a faster skater, you're going to get burned.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, that's an excellent question. It's really hard. I mean, I know there's got to be dozens and dozens and dozens of adult league hockey players out there who struggle, if not thousands or millions that struggle with gap control. It's just really hard. Rick, anything you wanted to add to any of those discussions?
No, I'll leave it.
All right. Well, I'm going to stay with you, Rick, and see summer camp updates. What do you got for us, Rick?
Well, on the good news perspective, we recently found out that the rink in Morristown, Menin Arena, opened up. And so we're very confident at this point that we're going to have that camp. And then the following weekend, the Washington, D.C. area camp in Laurel, Maryland, that rink is going to be opening August 1st.
So which weekends are those camps?
Oh, so they're the last two weekends in August. The exact dates escape me. So it's the last two weekends in August will be Morristown, New Jersey. I think it's maybe around August 21st.
Yeah, 22nd, 23rd, that weekend.
Yep. And then the following weekend in Laurel, Maryland, the DC camp. So
about 6 weeks out, those camps are still looking pretty good.
Yep.
5 to 6 weeks out. So, okay. And then, unfortunately, correct me if I'm wrong. I was hoping the next episode, we'd be able to talk about your experience at your first camp of the summer, but that one's not going to happen. So, next episode will not be a lessons learned from the first 2020 camp.
We should be going to Ann Arbor this week. Unfortunately, the rink did not open as anticipated. So can't go there and not have ice.
Okay. All right. Well, gentlemen, that kind of brings us to the end of the episode. If there anything, Coach Rob, you wanted to bring up before we sign off?
No, I'm exhausted now.
Okay. Good. For the listeners out there, keep the questions coming. We'll keep Coach Rob busy for a while. So, but thanks, Rick, and thanks, Rob, for joining me today for this. I think it's always good to have these discussions, especially when people have very specific questions they want to get out. So please keep the questions coming for all the listeners out there. Thanks for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey. And please remember to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast platform. And we will talk to all of you again soon. We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.